place, so this is probably good that I get to, I'll try not to fall anywhere, but it is good to be with you here this morning, and I'll just add a word to what Jordan said. You know, there is a long-term connection that we have with the Etna Green Church. First and foremost, if you know Dick and Janet, their daughter Carmen is my wife, but when we were living in Russia, sometimes when we'd come back for visits, we would spend some time here. In fact, on one occasion, we were here for a fair season of time, and our daughter Anna was born just up the road in Warsaw. And so when we were staying here, so we have a lot of connections, and currently we are based out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. So we're not too far away, and especially in the summer months, our kids like to get out and come out to the lake over here at Huffman Lake and that kind of thing. But it's great to be able to be back with you and just share a little bit. I won't go quite into the depth that I did during Sunday school. So what I'd encourage you to do, there's a table out there, and there's things like this that are just out there. It's better if they stay here with you than me take them back. So feel free to grab those. And if you want to sign up to get like e-newsletters from time to time, there's a place you can do that out there. So that'll give you a lot more of the specifics. But this morning, Barry was kidding me. See, when we lived here for about a year, we used to go over and play ball over near the old that was the old Triton gym, right? Yeah. And he's still doing it. I'm not. So that tells you a little bit about how we all age differently. But I have to wear these now. I can see him perfectly without them. I can't see what's in front of me if I don't. So I'll be putting them on and off. You didn't need to know that, did you? But I wanted to start with a question. What is one of the most common everyday words that we use, and we probably don't even realize we're using it? Okay. Okay. Any? Just go ahead. Throw a couple out there. I'll see if anybody gets it.
Me.
Okay. Keep going. Well, how many of you, if you have one, hold it up. How many of you have one of these? Okay. Some of you don't have it handy, so you're not getting it out there. I understand. But there's something we do on this many times a day, right? We text something, and then we do send, right? You know, sending, I bet it's probably one of the things we do more than anything else, and we don't even realize it. Because we do a lot of sending, right? We used to do it where we'd get the envelope and we'd stick the thing in and lick it shut and put the stamp on it. We do that occasionally, maybe to pay a bill here and there. But more and more, we're taking advantage of what technology has brought into our homes and into our pockets, literally. And we're sending. We're sending emails. We're sending messages. I looked, as I was getting ready for today, I looked, how many emails have I sent since December 1? Well, it tells me it's 173, 2.5 emails a day. But I send more text messages now than even emails. And I bet some of the younger set in our room send a bunch. I mean, just knowing the way my kids are in that. And it's interesting how we've just changed in that regard. You know, but the only time I get my texts from my kids, though, is when, Dad, can you come pick me up? You know, real heartwarming, loving texts from my kids. But they do it. And it's amazing, though, how fast those things move, isn't it? I don't even understand it. I won't even begin to understand it. But you can do one here in this room while I'm talking. You probably won't. But if you were and you were sending me, it'd be there instantaneously, wouldn't it? Well, we've tapped into this technology when we travel. Tim and I, you saw a little bit of where he was, the one with the hammer there in the video. We went all the way to Kyrgyzstan, which to get there, you have to get on a plane, Fort Wayne, Chicago, someplace in Europe, to Moscow, then change Moscow to Kyrgyzstan. All total, you're going to spend probably 18, 20 hours traveling just to get there, okay? But the cool thing is, when you're there, I don't have very good cell phone coverage, but I could text my family and they would get them. I could send, like, here's a picture of something going on. It was just like, blows my mind, because when we first went to Russia, email was a new thing. Okay, that tells you a little bit about my age. But it was kind of new, and it was kind of tedious. But messaging and sending texts has become the thing, right? So we do a lot of sending. We do a lot of sending. But I want to just kind of dig a little deeper and just ask the question, but why? Why are people so into sending these days? And I think it's a very simple reason. And I think you might agree with me. People want to connect, right? They just want to connect. It's as simple as that. People want to connect. But I came across this this description of what's happening in our world simultaneously with all this technology, right? It says, in our world today, relationships are breaking down at ever-increasing rates. Think if you agree with this or not, but I kind of do. We are a nation of fractured families, disenfranchised friends, and increasingly independent individuals. Reality TV lets us experience living life together by proxy. Even many faith communities have become little more than gatherings of isolated individuals, while the number of online communities continues to grow. Loneliness has been described as epidemic, and we are a society of disconnected people longing for connections. And so people are looking for that. If you don't believe me, just go online and type in how many users are on Facebook today. I looked that up on Friday. You know how many are on Facebook alone, one of the social media platforms? It says 1.86 billion people. That's 25% of the world is on Facebook. That's more than lives in China or India. I mean, it just boggles my mind. So we, those of us in this room, are just like so many others, hundreds and even millions and billions of people around the world. We're into this thing called sending. It may be a text, it may be an email, maybe a post on a social media, but we do that, right, because we want to connect. We want to connect somehow with people. So sending has become a deeper part, I would say, of our culture today, more so than at any other time. But the interesting thing, and how this ties into what I want to share with you this morning, is that our God is a sending God. Do you ever stop to think about that? That our God is into connecting with people too, and he does that through sending what? Messages, right? Well, it was a different technology back then, but just think about it. Didn't God send a message to Abraham to leave his family in a familiar place and go to a distant land? And because God wanted to go there and to create a new nation that would bless all peoples. But it started by God sending him what? A message. God also sent Moses a message, kind of unorthodox way. It was a burning bush, you know. But God sent him a message that way. And he says, I want you to go back to where you grew up, to Egypt, because my people are there. They're being oppressed. I want you to go and to deliver them from that and lead them out so that they can begin to enjoy the covenant relationship that I so long to have with them. And he sent his prophets as well to his obstinate and often rebellious people, but he'd send his prophet a message to go and speak to a king or to a group of people or somebody because he wanted to turn their hearts back to himself and that they would rediscover the grace and the love that he has for them as his children. Then we see his ultimate message, you might say, when he sent his son Jesus, right? His only son, and he sent him, at that time, it was into a broken world full of lost people, and that's still true today, isn't it? But he did so to give them a fresh chance, a new opportunity, so that the light of his good news and grace would penetrate the darkness with unquenchable hope. And I want to ask you a question. When you look around Etna Green, okay? When you look around Kosciuszko County, when you look around our state, our country, even our world, would you agree with me that what is so often missing in people's lives today is that one thing that we would call hope? I mean real hope. Let's just say real hope. Because our world offers a kind of hope. But so often it's very fleeting. It's like as soon as you feel like you got it in your hands, it's gone. It's like a piece of fruit that if you let it sit around too long, it goes bad. We call it, it's perishable, right? It won't last a long time. And that's kind of the hope that our world offers to us. But God offers a whole different kind of hope. something that lasts. John 3 talks about this. I think you've heard these words, but I want to read them as we dig into God's word here a little bit. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish." Will not perish, but have eternal life. He wants to give them a lasting hope. See? He says, "God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Now, the word hope has four simple letters, H-O-P-E. And as I was thinking about this a while ago, it just came to me. What's a good description of hope? How would we even define it? And it really came to me this way. Heaven offering people eternity. See, friends, that is lasting hope. That's the kind of hope that Jesus came to give. And that's the kind of hope he wants everyone in this room to experience. You saw in the video, too, there were words, kind of the last words on there, and his name will be the hope of all the world. That's a prophecy from the Old Testament, but it was recorded by Matthew. And he's talking about Jesus, see? Jesus is the hope for our world today. It's meant for everybody, too. It's not just meant for the good folk here in Etna Green community. It's meant for people you've not even met yet. I've not even met yet. But God wants to give everybody in our chance an opportunity to know his offer of grace and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. But there's a catch, see? There's a catch to all of this. Romans 10 talks about it. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay, I can accept that. That's pretty cool. I like the sound of that. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. And there's a great promise in that, isn't there? But the catch is, not everybody knows about it. And Paul said that right there too. He says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?" And you know what? In some parts of the world, the number of people who believe in him is doing what? It's on a downward trend. In other places, it's on an upward trend. But that's a reality, see? How can they believe in him, though, if they've never heard about him? You may find that hard to believe, that there are some people who have never picked up a Bible in their life. No one's ever given them one. Maybe in the country they live in, it's not allowed. There's some parts of the world that are still that way. How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Without being sent. And so God sent Abraham, he sent Moses, he sent the prophets. Finally, he sends his son with a message. And yet, he hasn't stopped sending, see? Because if you have said yes to say, "I want to follow Jesus, and I want him to be the Lord and Savior of my life," he actually wants to send you too into the world, to the people that you know. You know, you see that all through the Gospels, don't you? That Jesus, it says, he went up on the mountain and prayed and then came down and gathered and chose. How many choose? What was that number again? Was it 12? Yeah, he chose 12 people. And he called them, it says, apostles. You know what the word apostle literally means? The sent out ones. So from day one when he chose him, he intended to send these guys out. He had a mission he wanted them to go out on. Later, you see another example, 72, I think it was, and they went out two by two. He sent them out. But Jesus didn't stop with that. You know, we heard, read just a few moments ago, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, what? Pray that God would send what? More workers. More workers." It's interesting, though, when Luke records that, he's telling his disciples, his closest followers, he's saying, you know, pray about this. And you know, the very next verse says, "Now go." You guys, you get out there and go. And he says, it's going to be kind of hard. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, you know, but I'm sending you out. So prayer often is followed by this thing called going, see? And that's what God's plan is for every one of us if we said yes to following Jesus. See, our God is a sending God, just like we are. We like to send, and God likes to send. But you know what? God sends on purpose. Whenever he sends on purpose. It's not like you or me, you know. Maybe it's the keyboard on these things. I don't know what it is. But inevitably, I'm putting together a text. And they try to make these things smarter than us anymore, don't they? It'll suggest a word, right? You're typing a suggested word, and it's like, I don't want that word, and oh, I accidentally hit accept, and oh, I hit the send button. And then I've sent a message I didn't intend to someone. And so what do? I have to write another one and say, that's not what I meant, you know. But God isn't like us that way. He doesn't make accidents. He doesn't make mistakes. He is very clear and intentional in everything that he does. And so the message he is sending and the messengers he sends with a purpose. And one of the verses of the New Testament talks about that, Romans 5:8, just says it very simply. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And so the question is, why did God send Jesus? To rescue us, to save us, to pay the debt that I couldn't pay because of my sin, to free me, to free everyone from being convicted of that sin and being condemned, and to give us the hope of eternal life with him. And see, when people really begin to grasp that, when they accept that with their minds, and they really let that sink down into their hearts and take up residence there, and God becomes a part of their life, you know what? It changes everything. I mean, it changes everything. It changes not only their eternal destiny, but it has the potential to change the destiny of people around them. And that's the cool and powerful thing of the gospel. And so God sent Abraham, told him, leave your family, go to a distant land. But why did he do that? Because he wanted to build a new nation that would bless all people. He had a purpose, see? When God sent Moses back to the oppressive land of Egypt where he's from, he did so with a purpose, right? To free those people who were in slavery. When God sent the prophets to his obstinate, rebellious people, he had a purpose in that too, to turn people's hearts back to himself. When he sent Jesus, his only son, into our broken world, he did so, why? Really, ultimately, to bring new life to us. And when he sends you and me to the corners of our world, why does he do that? Because he wants us to bring this message of hope. Now, if you're not convinced by what I've said so far, hear what Jesus said. It's some of his final words in Matthew. The very, very end of the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 28, he just says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, okay? And then he says, therefore, go. Go. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And as you're going, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the commands I've given you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And you know, when we take that to heart, and we actually do it, God does some amazing things. You know, if you were here during Sunday school, you heard me share a little bit about something called the Hope Project. And so I just want to kind of flesh that out for you as an example of this thing that God does of sending people. See, the person that is on the, is like boots on the ground with the Hope Project, her name is Rosa. Rosa grew up in the country of Kyrgyzstan, which is in Central Asia, long ways from here. But she grew up there in a Muslim family, okay? Went to grade school, went to college, then eventually moved from there north to Russia. She got a job. She was trained as a lawyer and got a job working for the police, okay? This is back in the 80s, all right? And so she moves to Russia, has a job. And then in the early 90s, something began to change all across what was called the former Soviet Union. The walls literally came down. The restrictions for foreigners to move freely in that country, and the whole system basically collapsed as they knew it. And so that just opened a door of opportunity like none that part of the world had ever seen up to that point. And so people were going into places like Russia and some of these other countries, and they were literally taking Bibles and passing out Bibles. But some other people also were going and moving there for the purpose of living among the people, making disciples, and seeing churches started. Well, one of those families, their names were Joel and Debbie Likens, and they had two little girls. I mean, their kids, they were under the age, both of them were under the age of five. And they were moving there, and there's rampant unemployment. Many of the social systems were broken down. There were literal shortages of certain types of food at times. But they believed God wanted them to go there, so they moved. And they found that there were just people just who wanted to hear the gospel. I mean, my friend Joel did not have enough time to go and talk to all the people who wanted to hear something. He just couldn't do it all. But as he was sharing the gospel, people began to accept Christ, and they started a church from that. And one of the people who came to Christ through that was Rosa. She gave her heart to Christ, and it changed it dramatically. A short time after that, my wife and I, Carmen, moved to a city next door to theirs. And so we got to know Rosa. And I've known her for more than 20 years. At one time, she was even a student of mine when I was teaching at a small Bible college in Moscow. But one thing I want you to understand about this lady, she just has a hospitable spirit about her. I mean, she's lived in some pretty horrendous living conditions. I'll just be quite honest. But no matter where she lived, she was always willing to invite people into her space, her home, and to show them God's love and feed them and just, you know, that's just the person that she is. And so a number of years ago, she really felt that God was asking her to go back to where she grew up. She's now a Christian. Her mom had become a Christian. Her grown son's a Christian, okay? But she had some family back there, and she felt like God wanted her to go back there. So all on her own, she'd retired from the police work years ago. She had a small pension. So all on her own, she moves back there. She gets a job in a local university teaching and has an opportunity to work with students. And she's actually teaching law. So this is her story, okay? And she's doing this because she's trying to obey this command. Some upheaval happened in the country. That university ended up closing, and she had to relocate. And she ends up in this remote mountainous community. 15,000 people, no church, just a handful of Christians. And she has been there for the better part of 6 years now, trying to be salt and light there. And you know, it has great challenges. She's approaching the age of, she's in her late 50s or right at 60, folks. Okay, so just think about that. And we've been taking some short-term teams there, but we are desperately praying, God, send a team to join her. She needs some people to come alongside her. She needs a family, a Christian family who can go and be there with her. We're wondering, God, are you going to maybe send some Russian Christians there? Because they would fit well in that context. We don't know the who, but we know the how. It begins by praying, see? And so everything I've been talking about, this whole sending thing, when you put it in a spiritual context, that God has something that he wants us to do. And I hope you've maybe he's been tapping you a little bit on the shoulder. See, God wants us to be about his ministry, and it has two expressions. It has local expression, like you guys are talking about. You know, it's about feeding the people in your community. It's about loving on your neighbor. It's about going to that family member who doesn't know Christ and pouring love into them and sharing the truth about Jesus. It's that, see? And that's our local expression, but it also has a global expression. And God wants us to be, as his church, about both sides of that. And so I just want to encourage you to do three things here this morning. And ask you, would you do these three things with me? In order to give hope to others, will you pray? Will you send? And will you go? See, Jesus said, pray for workers, right? And we need to pray for workers here in our communities. But I'm asking you specifically, will you pray that God will send a team to go join Rosa in this next year? I mean, we need that to happen. She needs that to happen. That community needs that to happen. And I believe if we will faithfully pray, I mean earnestly pray, that God will answer that. So pray with me if you will. But I also would ask, would you send as well? Would you send people who are willing to go to those places? Because if God's going to raise up a team, how are they going to get there? It's going to be because the people of God say, we're going to send you. And he's at work helping to send already. But it's going to take some more to do that. And maybe someone in this room, maybe a family, you say, yeah, we'd like to personally be involved in that more. Just so you know, as a church, you are involved in supporting our mission. And because of that, I'm able to do what I do. And I'm able to come alongside Rosa and walk with her in this journey. I mean, because on her own, it would be really tough. And so I call her regularly, and we Skype together. If you know that technology, I Skype with her regularly and make occasional visits there, and we try to send others to go and to help her there. And so that by giving and supporting our ministry, you are actually helping to do that. But I just, if I could be so bold, I just want to be honest with you, because you're an extension of my family, okay? Even though some of you just met me for the first time today, we have some blood relatives here, but we're relatives by the blood of Christ as well. And, you know, our ministry, to do what we do, we are completely dependent on the generosity of people like you in this church. And so could I ask you to consider, as a church body, would you maybe even consider increasing what you do towards our ministry? We could use that at this time. And if you would do that, it would. God seems to be opening up some doors in front of us, but we can only say yes to those as God provides the resource. And so maybe you guys would be part of his answer in that. So would you pray? Would you help to send? But here's the third one, and this is maybe the toughest one. Would you go? I mean, literally, would you go? There are some people that you know. There are people in your life. There are people who annoy you across the property line or whatever. But they're your people, really. And if you don't go, who's going to go, right? See, you need to embrace the people that God has put in your life and say, I'm going to do all I can to love them, to serve them, and to tell them about this Jesus. Because that's the way this church is going to grow, the kingdom of God is going to grow, and lives are going to be changed for eternity. But maybe God wants you to consider another step. Maybe he wants you to go on a mission trip. Maybe it's a trip like up to a food bank. Maybe it's a trip to another country. I don't know what that looks like for you. But some of you, I know, are sitting there skeptically and say, well, I could never do that. Let me just take the excuse away for you. My wife is from this church. And probably when she was growing up, her dad never thought she was going to go spend 14 years overseas in another country, learning another culture, two other languages. Do you think he envisioned that? How many of you parents would love to see your kids go do that? It starts there, folks. They're not your kids. They're his kids. See? I'm praying that God will send my kids. You know, as hard as that may be, I don't know all the challenges they'll face. But when we buy in to the gospel, see, and we get the grace and the forgiveness and the joy and the peace and the freedom, all that stuff. But God also says, and I want you to partner with me in the spreading of this good news, see? And that's kind of what it looks like for all of us. Because our world is trying to connect. They're trying to connect with each other, but our Heavenly Father wants them to connect with him. And so that's the mission, really, that he's given all of us. That's the opportunity he's given us. And I just want to invite you, step into that in a new way and watch how God blesses you, this church, but also his kingdom. Will you pray with me? So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you that you're ascending God. I mean, you sent so many people, so many messages, so that we would get the message that you love us, that you have a plan for us, that you want to have a relationship with us, and that you want to spend eternity with us, God. And so I just pray, maybe there's someone in the room today that needs to embrace that for the first time. I pray that your spirit would work in their heart and that they would choose Jesus today. But I also pray that as a church body, we would embrace your mission for us to go to our neighbors, to go to our families, to even go to other parts of the world, so that more and more people will come to know you as their Lord and as their Savior. And that one day, God, we're going to have an awesome party in heaven when we meet people who we've never met on this earth, but they're going to know us because we helped to send the gospel to them. So we just ask, pour out your blessing on us that we might be a blessing to others. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus.